One, two, three, four.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. We can't call in. Top star, free balling.
One.
Four. Gotcha.
That was good, you motherfucker.
It's like when your mum counts to three.
Mm-hmm.
She'll never get to one, but you like there was always the fear of like, what if she did?
Mm-hmm.
And like as a kid, you'd always like sort of you'd tease her. So like your mum would be like, "Don't let me get to three. One, two," and then it was either 2.5 or it was Edward, and then that's when I knew. That's oh shit. She ain't backing down. I ain't backing down. I don't want to know what happens when we get to three. And honestly, it's like Chris Pratt. I don't know what happens when my mum gets to three. And at this point, I'm too scared to ask.
You know, I imagine there are a lot of kids who grew up afraid of fractions because of that. It's like 1, 2.8. They're just in class. The teacher's reading fractions and they're fucking flinching.
I guess when you were growing up, you were scared of, like, your grandma or your mum would, like, sort of charge up the sandal throw.
Oh, dude. The chancla.
And you knew shit was going, you knew it was going down. It's like, I better, like, put my best behavior face on or I'm going to be in pain for the rest of the day.
No, honestly, dude, it got to a point where I remember there was a time when just seeing them reach for it, even if they weren't going to, you know, threaten me with it, there was like a little twitch. There was a flinch. I was like, ah, nope. No.
You know what happened when you were naughty, though? You always had your go-to music. And I want to, like, in these podcasts, I know we've been doing a lot of listicles, and I've literally just thought of this now, and I just want to talk about the power of music.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when we talked about movies, when we talked about movies at the end of 2021, we could have talked about the power of movies. And I think we could do that in a future episode. I just think to give these podcasts a bit more of a space, a bit more of your identity.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you know,
you want to give it more depth.
More depth, more feel, like, you know, because like that's important. Like when we're writing,
mm-hmm.
like we know when we're writing a good story because we can't stop writing. The characters, they just come to us. We feel them. And that's why I like writing TV over movies, because it gives me a chance to explore
mm-hmm.
the characters more, the stories more. Like, I'll think of stories. If I'm thinking of a movie or a short film, I'll have to throw stuff in the bin.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, you know, maybe I could take that and jimmy it into another movie. And that's not really the way writing goes. As soon as you try to take something from another idea into another idea, that, you know, no, that's a horrible, terrible path to do. Don't ever do that.
Yeah.
But in TV, it gives you the chance to explore. And I think with these podcasts, it gives us a chance to explore. So when we were being yelled at by our parents, we had our go-to music. Like, for me, when I was growing up, I was sort of like 8, 13, when I was a bit naughty. Like, naughty. My go-to would be nu metal. Like, and mm-hmm. then that sort of eventually grew into... My dad realized the music I was listening to, and then I sort of realized, holy shit, my dad listens to stuff heavier than me. And my dad is pushing 60. If he hears this podcast, he's probably going to yell at me and hit me afterwards because he's nowhere near 60. He likes to think he is, but he's getting there. We'd share music tastes. Oh, dad, just listen to this. And then he would know how I was feeling and be like, Ed, have you tried listening to this? And then that sort of... You know, we sort of explored each other's music. I've gone a little bit further. Like,
mm-hmm.
my dad has no idea who Drake is or Travis Scott or, you know, synthwave music. And I love all that shit. Metal, synthwave, hip-hop. I like hippity-hop too.
Hip to the hippity-hop.
You know, rap metal, fucking. Even Anthrax, whether you knew it or not, have a rap metal album. Fucking Anthrax. That's like one of the granddaddies of thrash metal, along with Exodus and Metallica, has a rap album. Like, come on, bruv. Like I'm pretty sure without that album, there's no Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst, when growing up, listened to that Anthrax album, was like, I like the rap and I like the metal. And then boom, Limp Bizkit was born. And whether you hate them or love them, I don't know. How many of us can say we have 5 top-selling albums and have been around the world touring with our music that we liked doing?
Can't argue with that.
We can't. So you can have your opinion, but I'm not here for it. And then, you know, there's also like stoner music as well. Like, you know, not that I really, you know, not that I smoke at all, but, you know, I like Cypress Hill.
Yeah. Cypress Hill's good.
Yeah, Cypress Hill's got good music. You know, if you listen to like sort of early punk music, Blink-182, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Bowling for Soup, NoFX, they're high as fuck. To quote the great, late great Bill Hicks, if you think your best music, your best albums, your best records haven't been done on drugs, I want you to go home and I want you to burn them. I want you to throw them in a bin. Because all those great albums, all those great records, all those great artists, really fucking high on drugs.
We're not pushing drugs. We're just saying some they can be useful.
This can be useful.
It can be useful.
People, like, you know, people are high as balls when they're sort of getting the inspiration.
Yeah.
Like Chicago. What do you think the inspiration was? It wasn't women. It wasn't beer. It was drugs. You're the inspiration. As they're like, oh, you know what? We should do a song about coke that isn't really about coke, but the inspiration around coke. Everyone else in the band just goes, fuck me. And then boom, you're the inspiration is born. If Chicago want to say otherwise, then, you know, they're more than welcome to come listen to the podcast. And whilst they do so, they can like, share, and rate, as of the rest of you can.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Learning, man. I've been watching podcasts.
You mean you've been listening to podcasts?
You know, yeah. If you want to be a dick about it.
I'm just saying, like, I'm learning. I'm watching. You mean you're listening to them?
I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening to you, dickhead.
I'm listening to you, birthday boy. That's so right. Today's... It's his birthday!
Today... Oh, I was trying to explain more about the podcast. Fuck my birthday. It's only 28. It's not a big number.
Well, that's why
it's
I was
getting
like...
bigger.
Yeah, that's why I was like, woo! Not like, you know...
Someone's got a certain birthday coming up that's a bit of a milestone.
Shut up! Just shut up! How about we just get into the show? How about you just walk us through the show?
We'll get there. We'll get there. There's a whole year left, people. We'll get to Sebastian's hell on earth that is 2022.
I mean, it can't possibly be as bad as 2021 or 2020, so.
For you, maybe?
That's what I'm saying.
Any other people?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Encroaching your age?
Fuck you. Get into the show.
Sebastian's out here throwing yellow flags like NFL referees. Encroachment, not ready for this. 15-yard penalty. Go the fuck back. Speaking of, I'm sorry about the Chargers, bro. I really thought they were going to make it.
Yeah, 3 points.
Not this year, but Herbert has it in him. If you stick with Herbert and build around him, Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen, you've got a great team. Joey Bosa on your defense is a fucking machine. I just think there's a bit of the Raiders that are doing it for John Madden.
Yeah,
They had the season torn to shreds by he who shall not be named, John Gruden.
Thinking children.
We're talking about SEX in front of the CHILDREN. The sex cauldron. Close that place down. I know I spoke children wrong, but fuck it. I spoke through it. As
fuck
an
it.
Actor would.
Stuck to the bit. It works.
No, that's just, but like half, like if you didn't know, John Madden died. I think we spoke about it on the podcast. I can't remember.
No, I don't think we did. But
and I'm pretty sure a lot of the Raiders players are like sort of in the locker room. Fuck what happened. Let's do it for Madden.
Yeah, man. This, I mean, just because, you know, you mentioned, you know, John Madden's passing, we want to send our condolences to the families of Bob Saget and Sidney Poitier. They just two legends.
Two absolute masters of their craft. Bro.
Yeah. Just legends gone too soon. I mean, Poitier was what, 99? That's still too soon.
Yeah, still too soon.
Yeah.
Dude should have got to 100. Dude should have been there with old Betty White.
Yeah.
Yep. Being 100 and shit. Like, that's the goal. That's the milestone.
Once you hit 100, it's like, all right. Suck my dick.
I don't think even... I know he's been dead for a few years now, but I don't think even Eli Wallach made it to 100. I think he was also 98, 99.
Yeah. I think it's
the bad guy. The bad guy from The Good and Bad, The Ugly. I think I'm pronouncing his last name wrong. Is it Wallach or Wallach?
I'm not sure.
I know him from Ghost Rider with Pierce Brosnan and Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
He plays like this sort of housekeeper who used to work for Pierce Brosnan's sort of dirty Republican that Ewan McGregor's trying to find more, he's trying to get the scoop, so to speak. But yeah,
I gotcha.
Bob Saget, I know people remember him from Full House and Fuller House and hosting so many shows.
So many shows. The years. America's Funniest Home Videos, classic.
But for me and Sebastian, we pretty much grew up with Bob Saget as Future Ted. We didn't even see the guy.
Nope.
I didn't even know who Bob Saget was until he was playing an asshole character in Entourage.
Yeah, he's playing a heightened version of himself. It was so fucking funny.
It was surprising to me. Every celebrity under the sun has come out. I never worked with Bob. I met him at an after party. And he was the nicest guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Jeff Goldblum, but nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff Goldblum. If you're listening, not watching, I've got to get that one right. Share, rate, subscribe.
We're not trying to
yell at us. Yell at us in the comment section. We'll take it. I don't give a shit. I've got a bum hole wide open for you, bro.
Wait, what was that?
No. What did he say?
Oh shit!
Hey, I'll do anything for the roles. Wait a minute, I didn't say that.
Okay. All right. See you.
So today's episode, Back on Track, is about music. More importantly, albums. And this isn't what you think it is. This isn't the best albums of all time. This isn't just albums where you grew up with. It's kind of like what we did last episode. Sort of we did one TV, one movie. So we have our own little setup here, and we'll tell you as you need to know. Calm down, we'll get there. I see you in your cars, stuck on the I-15, just going, get to the goddamn point, Sebastian and Edward. Wait.
Man, we have some angry listeners.
It's my birthday. We'll go at my pace. So if you are stuck on the I-15, pull over, get into a dive bar, get a beer, and sit down and have a listen.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
I'm talking to you, Sebastian's friend. I know you're listening.
Just because you brought up.
No, has he got a reaction from last week's episode?
Yeah, I did. He's like, yo, Ed wants the smoke. Oh,
shit. Ed wants all this smoke. I do, bro. There's no fire without smoke, bro. And if you're bringing the smoke, I'm the fucking fire. Bring it, bruv.
Goddamn.
What's he got for me this week?
No, he doesn't have anything. He was just literally, hey, Ed wants the smoke.
Oh, what? You can't just set me up and then
No, because
I'm ready to throw hands, man.
There was nothing to be really called out on last week, but he felt like you called him out. Yo, Ed wants the smoke. I was like, yeah, I guess so.
Was he surprised I guessed one of the RZA movies he was going to mention, though?
No, I don't think so.
Ah, because no one, at least I've seen The Man with the Iron Fist. Yeah. People haven't.
I haven't. I didn't want to. It looked awful.
Your reaction to The Man with the Iron Fists is most people's reaction to The Matrix. But then they see it anyway, and they're just like, oh, this movie is as awful as I thought it was going to be. So why watch it then? Listen here, dipshit. If you think something's not going to be good, you have a preconceived judgment and you're an asshole. Don't watch it just to confirm your preconceived judgment of you not liking it and it not being good. Fuck's sake.
All right.
So many people out there that are just mean to the mediums. It's like...
Stop it.
I like The Matrix.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Fuck it. I'll come out and say that. Too many people are just throwing hate out there for no fucking reason.
Right. All right. So
it's like, why did they recast actors? If you watch the movie, it actually is explained. right. Music. So albums.
Hold
We're
on.
Gonna
so
start with a bit of a somber tone.
Hold on.
What?
No. Don't, what now? No. Just because I'm not very big on on albums. Just because it was just never a thing for me. If I liked the song, I would find the way to hear the song, usually radio and stuff growing up. So I won't have as many albums as you. I just wanted to throw that out there.
You got some songs.
I got songs though. Yeah.
Let me know. All of mine are albums.
Okay. Yeah, I figured.
Although I have pulled out notable songs within those albums.
Oh, okay. I feel you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that was always going to be my plan, dipshit.
I did not know that.
So.
But now I know.
Probably should have specified before telling you now. Way to go, Ed. Get given an episode to plan for your birthday and fuck it up. You laughed a little bit too hard at that one. I'm
sorry. That was unintentional, I swear.
You better watch yourself, buddy boy. You're on mighty thin ice.
Buddy boy? Why, yada?
Right, so we're starting today with an album we want played at our funeral. Is this a song for you or an album for you?
This is a song for me.
This is a song for you. Right, it's an album for me, so I'm going first. I'm
go
the birthday
it.
Boy. I'll decide who goes first.
I guess, it's go me. For it. Okay.
For me, so I'm taking my basis of, like, I'm taking my base off this, off, what's that movie we both like? The biopic on Doug something or other?
Oh,
Extremely stupid and incredibly futile.
Yeah, gesture.
Yeah, so, like, at Doug the end Kenny. Of the movie, that like, Doug Kenny, he sort of projects himself to, he's the son of someone famous. Domhnall Gleeson is the son of Brendan Gleeson, and he plays Doug Kenny's, sort of partner
throughout
most of the movie.
Yeah.
And he's there, and he sort of, how he meets Doug Kenny in the movie is is in a Harvard frat party kind of thing, a Harvard rush. And Doug Kenny, like, he throws the pool cue at someone, and he starts a food fight.
Yeah.
Which was the basis for the food fight. In
Animal House,
thank you very much, Sebastian. Tell me you've had a lot of beers without telling me you've had a lot of beers. stuff I would remember being sober, but I'm not, so I don't. welcome to the show, everybody. Freeballing, if we haven't said already. this is going so well! Right. Domhnall Gleeson ends up at Doug Kenny's funeral throwing... He starts a food fight party. And I'd like to think this actually happened. I don't know. It did. We could probably find out if we ever met Chevy Chase whilst he's still alive. It's like, did that food fight at Doug Kenny's funeral actually happen? I would like to know. But I don't want people going to my funeral and be like, oh, I'm so sad, Ed's dead. I mean, no one's going to be sad when I'm died. Like, you, John, Ryan, Mikey, Bobby will all be on the front row and each of you will start giggling at a story you remember where I was just a stupid motherfucker. And you're like, what will set it off is you looking at me and that, there'll be that photo of me next to my coffin. I'll just be there like a stupid thumbs up or like, you'll just look at my face and just go like, he was a stupid motherfucker when he was alive. And I want you to go to my wake. And if it's not already playing, I want one of you to crack out your phone and I want you to play Take Off Your Pants and Jacket by Blink-182.
Nice.
Absolute phenomenal album. This could have easily been every album on every single choice.
Really? Shit.
Yeah. Like, online songs, great song. Like, isn't that, you know, if it's in American Pie, then I love it. First Date, you couldn't watch music videos back in the day without seeing at least First Date about 4 or 5 times a day, depending on how long you were watching a music channel for. And Story of Your Lonely Guy, that is literally me. And then there's the album Owns with Please Take Me Home. Nice. And I'd like to think wherever I go after I die is home.
Fucking A.
There's no better way to end an album. And I don't want you to be sad. I want you to listen to this album. It's punky. It's upbeat throughout most of it. You know, Story of a Lonely Guy and Please Take Me Home are a bit sad, and Stay Together for the Kids are a bit sort of, you know, you need something to sort of tie the album together. I'd like to think, you know, some albums out there are all hype, but punk albums, there was always a few songs that sort of, oh shit, this actually makes me feel emotions. Oh, you know, crack out a couple of beers, talk, you know, those stories you were giggling whilst you were listening, whilst you're waiting for the priest to shut the fuck up. I want you to tell those stories, man. I want you, like, I'm going to be the first to die out of all my friends, because, you know, man has no control.
Jesus Christ.
But it's, so tell us, Sebastian, what is your song?
Well, you know, it's fucking funny because you brought up Futile and Stupid Gesture. And that's exactly the movie I was thinking about when I was thinking about this fucking song.
Holy shit, you are not joking,
are you? I'm not joking at all.
Oh, that is awesome.
Like, I was, like, preparing how to bring it up, and then you brought it up. I was like, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way.
Oh, my God.
But, like, because...
That is so brilliant.
It's funny, because in the funeral scene that you mentioned, one of my favorite bits is when they're talking about how he died. Or, you know, oh, he killed himself. He did this and that. Like, no, this guy fell looking for a place to jump off of. And I was like, as dark and as fucked as that is, that's exactly how I want to go out. I want to go out on a laugh. I want to go out on a joke. I want to go out on something so unbelievably inappropriate that people can't help but laugh. I want a song that I played at. So the song that I've picked to play at my funeral is The Lazy Song by Bruno Mars.
Whoa, that's a good choice.
Because I, you know, the whole bit, it's like, I just want to lay in my bed.
You'd be in your bed forever.
I'd be in my bed forever, exactly. Every day's a lazy day.
See, I know how you're going now. You're like, I'll probably be there with you if I'm still alive for whatever strange reason. Or if I'm not there, I'll be there in spirit.
Yeah.
Like, I will know. Like, being someone who's already dead, I know when my friends have their expiration date.
Oh,
like,
that's... God, you know, imagine if that's how it worked.
It's like an airport terminal. Like, all the people that are close to you. Date of birth, other key dates in their life, I don't know,
and
married.
Then date of death.
Shit, and then date of death. And I'd be like, oh, shit. That's, you know, on Earth, that's coming up. And then, down I go. you know, because, you know, I'm sort of ephoral. I can be everywhere. You better believe I'm putting this shit out you, bro. In a funny way. I'll do funny shit.
Funny shit.
I know. You'll just look at someone. It's like, you know what? I've always heard comedy is in the... And you'll die.
I'm dying mid-sentence.
No, because the end of that joke is timing.
Mother.
You know, I've always heard comedies in the...
Goddamn. See, now...
The what?
See, now if I don't go out like that, I'm going to be super disappointed.
I was going to say, my ghost will be super disappointed.
He's like, oh, bro. You missed it.
Either that, it will be just before you climax in sex. Just to fuck you. Just one more time. The big man upstairs is like, you know, you've always complained about how I've had it out for you. I have. You'll just push yourself extra hard. It's like, even though I'm a bit old, I can still do this. I can still do this. I can still... Did you come, baby? And then, bang, on top of her.
You know
dead.
What's...
Dead
you know,
the door now.
Just the most amazing thing about that scenario is that I won't have to be the person to, like, have to deal with all of that. Like, I'm done. I'm gone.
Yeah,
gone. Whoever I'm with is just scarred for life. The people have to come, like, find my body. Just my naked-ass, like, wrinkly old body. Nah. I'm out.
like Steve Carell in The Morning Show, just lets go of the wheel. Spoiler alert, Steve Carell dies in the second season of The Morning Show. He just lets go of the wheel, and he's just like, it's over. There's no more issues. There's no more anything. And I was like, you know what? Like, my mum even goes, oh, why isn't he trying to stop the car? And I was like, he doesn't want to. And if you've been watching the show,
mm-hmm. You understand why.
You understand why. He kind of doesn't want to. But we started off somber. It's time to move the fuck on.
Alrighty.
And if we were going, like, the next one, if we're going to start at, you know, date of death, let's go to Always Remember Your First, the first album we ever bought. I hope you have an album for this one, not a song.
No, yeah, it is an album.
You've got a problem.
No,
I guess
no,
sometimes you get your EPs.
No, this is an album, but, like, it's very recent.
Oh, well, that's good for me, because mine isn't.
All right,
cool. Wait, the first album you ever bought was recent?
Yes.
Okay, that we might need to have another episode about this whole topic. because mine is 10,000 Fists by Disturbed in like 2003.
Fucking A.
I got this because I was obsessed with Decadence. Mm-hmm. And in my country, Decadence was the, like, the trailer song and, like, sort of the pivotal song for one of the greatest games of all time. Don't even talk to me. Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Nice.
People are, like, I have a friend who is obsessed with BMWs, actually has a BMW, and I think his obsession with BMWs started with playing Need for Speed Most Wanted. God, because damn. The BMW M3 in that game. And then when you finally get it back, the car you had to beat, the car you used to beat it to get it back, mm-hmm. is better than that car. And I didn't want to use it anymore. I was like, fuck. This isn't fair. It's like when you finally beat the boss and the weapon the boss like beat the shit out of you with so many times, you finally get it and it's like, I was being beat by this? Fuck, I need to start again because my character's shit. you know, when you finally get the boss weapon, it's never as good as it was when it was being used against you. And it's always what happens. Yeah, so Decadence, and then I remember playing Guitar Hero 3 again. That game. There's a few games I remember, like, sort of around sort of the Halo, Call of Duty era, when you weren't playing mm-hmm. Halo, you weren't playing Call of Duty. The game you sort of played by yourself and you had bragging rights for was Guitar Hero 3, because when you completed the game, you got Through the Fire and Flames by Dragon Force, probably the only Dragon Force song the masses know. And it was, like, notoriously sort of difficult on expert mode. For me, the first song I ever completed 100% on expert mode was Stricken. And it's mm-hmm. on 10,000 Fists. It's on Guitar Hero 3. This album was... I loved Disturbed. And I remember buying the album. Yes, for the game. But then also, like, the picture of the guy on the front, like, sort of... is kind of like a callback to Iron Maiden almost. Like, you know, it's this sort of monster, ghoulish kind of guy. I think he was actually nicknamed The Guy.
Wow, cool. Called The Guy. what a great name, you guys.
Could have called him like fucking, like Azazel or some shit. But no, The Guy. Yeah, just, yeah, I remember being, how old was I in 2003? Around about that sort of time-ish. It was about 10, 9. Roughly. 9, 10.
Yeah.
I walked into HMV, picked up 10,000 Fists. You know, my dad may have been with me, but it was my money. My dad may have been the one exchanging money for item and then he gave it back to me, but I was the one who chose the album. I was the one who was like, I have 10 quid here. Don't ask me how I got it. You go over there and you buy it for me, big man. Oi, fat man, come buy me things. Whilst you're buying yourself a Pokemon game, you can buy me Disturbed.
Oh, yeah, man. Shit.
So, annoyingly, I need to now ask... what was the first album you bought that apparently was recent?
All right, so let me... I just want to throw in a little explanation because I feel like I need to. So when I was growing up, I didn't really listen to stuff, you know, that was current. You know, I grew up around whatever my parents were listening to, and they were listening... My dad had...
You didn't buy anything? Like, you didn't buy, like, Africa albums or some shit?
No, they already had a bunch of them. And like my dad had like old vinyls of like a bunch of different bands and stuff, so we would just listen to that. And then he would buy CDs, and then like my mom would listen to like soft rock and stuff like that. So that's what I was growing up listening to, and then whatever was on the radio, because I just didn't really go out of my way to get stuff. And then when I finally started like listening to more diverse music, I was, you know, illegally downloading shit and I make myself CDs.
Oh, you're one of those people.
I was one of those people, yes.
You're a pirate of the seven seas.
I was, because I couldn't afford all those fucking CDs for a song, and I was a pirate
of the Ethernet.
And I just
really smart.
Like, it didn't really occur to me, you know. It wasn't even until you and I met that I really started going out of my way to listen to albums and, like, the stories of albums and shit like that. And then...
Oh, hell yeah.
My sister... So, this kind of leads into the album. My sister got me into Panic at the Disco fairly late.
Mm.
And an album that I just became obsessed with, like, top to bottom. Like I was like, okay, I want to buy this album. Was there 2016 Death of a Bachelor?
Yes. I remember driving into Burbank for one of the first times with you. I think we were going, like, you played a song, I played a song. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was listening to the recent White Lies album. I remember because one of the songs is Summer Meant Nothing at All, and we don't talk about my ex-girlfriend. She doesn't listen to this podcast. We can chat shit about her all we want. Do you know, like, you still speak to her? She doesn't listen to the podcast, does she?
No,
of course not. She's too bougie for that shit.
Yeah, but yeah, man, like, every song on the fucking on the album is an absolute banger, and every time I hear it, it, like, it gives me
you saw them live.
Yeah, it's an album that, like, really
they
invigorates
this
me.
Album.
No, it was, I think it was a different one. It was one of their more recent ones. But, like, just, you know, there's something about this one where, like, I don't have a problem with any of the songs. And each of them, each of them triggers something different in the brain. But all of it's, like, invigorating and inspiring. So I was just like, holy crap, this is what Ed's talking about all the time. I've been missing out, man.
Fucking love music, dude. Like, if you get anything from this episode at all, it's like, I don't know about Sebastian's, but just my music is a hobby.
Yeah.
Like, I had to stop drumming because I was like, yo, I don't want to make this a profession because I enjoy it too much.
Yeah.
I don't mind making acting in the film industry at the time when I was drumming. I actually had a drama teacher, sort of, he came up to me and was like, I know you're good at drumming. I know you're really good at acting. But you're the kind of guy that's going to have to choose. Because he knows how much I put into everything. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, you're such a passionate, dedicated guy. You know, before he even told, like, before I even heard the phrase from Ron Swanson, don't 50% two things because nothing deserves to be half-assed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was already living it. And my drama teacher, I think, like, at now, he was kind of manipulating me to choose drama because my drum teacher never really actually liked me. He was annoyed that I was this good at it. I was like, hey, you know, if you listen to this much music, you're going to pick stuff up.
Yeah.
Like that dum 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 dum. I've literally just done the bass drum rhythm to every song you've probably ever listened to.
Yep.
Just it's the drummer's job to sort of add in riffs to that, you know, people like John Bonham are really good at, Neil Peart were really good at. May they both rest the fuck in peace. There's no more need to give us beautiful music anymore. But they are definitely in the great gig in the sky.
Yeah.
Arguing who's on the drums next. John Bonham's literally been up there by himself. Dum 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 dum. And then Neil Peart comes up and he's like, and now it's, you know, sort of they're butting heads. And,
yeah.
You know, Jesus walks up and says, guys, 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 Elvis is about to go on. Can one of you just fucking decide who's doing what?
It's like, can you guys turn it down? It's a little loud.
Jimi Hendrix is there. It's just going, we're never going to get to play. Because when you got the two best drummers who ever lived, who aren't with us anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know, Heaven's got some great music up there being played 24/7.
Absolutely.
Not that we need to get there anytime soon, you motherfucker. I'm happy here.
Yeah, same.
I'm happy here with this podcast. I actually got ready for this podcast today. I was ready. Like, usually when I'll phone, like, Sebastian will phone me or I'll phone Sebastian, and he usually spends, like, 10 minutes watching me write out my notes and set my shit up. I was ready today. I'm really enjoying this. We swapped roles today. It's been so good. Yeah, man. I was waiting for you.
Yeah, you were waiting for me.
Because your dog destroyed your notes.
It's like, I didn't even realize it until I came into my room to start setting up. I was like, I saw bits of paper on the floor. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, God damn it.
You'll be shitting out your notes in a couple of hours, mate.
Probably.
So right. Let's move on. That was the first album we ever bought. I'll remember it forever. I'll cherish it forever. Not that I've listened to 10,000 Fists in the like last couple of years. I may do after this. Why not? But now, sort of upon the first album we ever bought, especially around my time, I guess for you, the first album you ever bought is nowhere near this album. But for me, about the same time, mm-hmm. is an album that defined our childhood.
Yep.
And our childhood was, I know some people, the old people, the elder generation, are like, the glory days of music was the 60s and the 70s. Your youngins' music is shit. For me,
what was that voice?
From the mid-noughties, it was an old person voice. The mid-noughties was so good for music. I know some people are like, new metal ruined music, it ruined metal, it ruined pop, it ruined rock. No, fuck you. The genre exists. I still love it. I still listen to new metal pretty much on a yearly basis. I can show you my Spotify recapped sort of shit. I posted it once and everyone judged me for liking folk metal. Well, fuck you. love folk metal. It's actually, is it in? Well, just, it's not any of the albums I've chosen. It could be. I may change one as we come to it, but we've got a few more first.
Yeah.
I may go against my notes. It's good. Right. I have a good reason for it as well. So, album that defined my childhood. Oh, you know what? I thought about this one last, and it was a tie between this and two other albums. Mm-hmm. Can I do two? Am I allowed to do two?
Yeah, you can do two. It's your birthday.
No,
it's your birthday.
Okay, it's my birthday. So the first one I was gonna go with A Hangover You Don't Deserve from Bowling for Soup.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how we just did first album we ever bought. The first album that was ever gifted to me.
Mm-hmm.
Was A Hangover You Don't Deserve from Bowling for Soup.
Okay.
And holy shit, start to finish, that thing was great. Like, I loved it. But it's not as childhood defining as Hybrid Theory from Linkin Park was.
Fucking A.
I remember the first time I went to Florida for Christmas about 2004-ish. Mm-hmm. Can't remember really. Because, you know, it was so long ago. I couldn't even take a photo of a picture of the first time we went to Florida. I'm looking at it right now. I'm wearing an Uncle Cracker t-shirt. My dad is actually wearing a t-shirt that is Homer and Bart as Jules and Vincent from Pulp Fiction.
Nice.
I need to take a photo of this because that shirt, mm-hmm. like me and my dad... every now and then, we'll try and find that shirt online, and it just no one does it. I don't even know how my dad got it in the first place, but like, I knew my dad was cool.
Yeah.
When I didn't even know what Pulp Fiction was, but I knew what Simpsons were. It's like even before I knew what sort of references were and sort of like, you know, parodies and all that shit was.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what it was. Because one of my dad's favorite all-time shirts, alongside his Barney t-shirt, was this Bart and Homer as Jules and Vincent from Pulp Fiction. Awesome.
Fucking A.
I remember I wasn't even allowed to listen to the album because I think my mum yelled at my dad for letting my brother listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what my dad didn't tell my mum was that Tom listened to the album, thought it was so good, Tom being my brother, he gave it to me to listen to. So, like, he couldn't hide the fact that Tom had listened to it because Tom gave the album back to my dad, not knowing my dad was going to get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
So once Tom sort of saw my dad getting told off, Tom sort of was like, maybe I don't tell him that Ed liked it as well. But there's one song on this album called Crawling
in my skin.
There is a photo classic of me. Oh, banger. Classic. Even the reason some people have got spike cool guy tips was because of Chester Bennington in the music video. I remember being in primary school. There was a photo of me in the... Because we had this sort of end of primary school trip to Wales. And someone was taking photos. And there was like a montage of all the photos. And one of them was, you can't go... We couldn't go anywhere without Ed listening to music. I spent the whole time listening to music. I borrowed my friend's Walkman because he said he wasn't going to use it. And I was like, dude, I bought all this music, but I forgot my Walkman. Yes, I'm old enough to know what a Walkman is. And probably could, with enough digging, could find my old one that I forgot to bring with me. And he lent me his. And I, like, that photo, mm-hmm. I remember just telling everyone around me, all my friends, I'm listening to Crawling. I knew, I knew where we were, and you could just see, you could actually see me in this photo feeling the music. You know, every frame of painting, that kind mm-hmm. of shit.
Yeah.
I was like, the fact that someone encapsulated me, like, for really feeling what Linkin Park were trying to say, like, I was like, shit, you know. I may be young, but I'm feeling stuff.
I'm going through
a big mouth phase kind of shit. Like, you know, my penis is feeling things. I don't know what to do with it. woke up in the morning and sometimes it was the Empire State Building. I was like, why are you doing this? And then Linkin Park was there for me, man. Yeah. Throughout everything.
Mm-hmm.
This episode isn't going to be an hour long. It's going to be way longer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So what is the album that defined your childhood, my guy, or a song that defined your childhood?
So for me, it is a song, and it has. Ooh. So it was more to do with how it was towards like elementary school, middle school, that era for me. I didn't go to school in the same town that I was living in. Like out mm-hmm. out here in districts, you know, you have to go in your district. But my parents put me in the school that, you know, my mom went to, and my aunts and cousins and all those people went to. So I was like, okay, you know, it makes sense. Yeah. But what no one really counted on is how lonely I was going to be.
Oh shit!
Because I couldn't tell anyone where I lived, so I couldn't really have people over, you know, because it would risk me having to change schools. So I had, you know, friends at school and stuff, but I never...
That's a very Friday Night Lights kind of story.
Like, you know, but I, you know, didn't really hang out with anyone. So I kind of grew up by myself. You know, I have my brother and my sister, but, you know, it's not the same. I was the oldest. I'm the oldest, so it was different. And the song that I feel like I just connected with because of how I was feeling, because of what I was going through, was "I'm Just a Kid" by Simple Plan.
Ooh.
There was a single song that summed up my childhood experience more than that fucking song.
I'm just a kid and nobody likes me. I'm just a kid and nobody knows me. Oh, dude, that's the didn't we want that as an acoustic version for the opening of the TV show we were writing pretty much this time last mm-hmm. year,
yep.
Transplanted. We need to get back on that.
Yeah, we do.
We need to write that this year, 100%.
Absolutely. But yeah, man.
My manager needs more things from me.
Same.
Not just caretakers in a short film I'm doing over here. Okay, so I mentioned we're trying to keep these episodes an hour. Maybe we can barrel roll through 4 and 5. Maybe 5 has a little bit to talk about because Sebastian knows what it is, but you don't. But number 4, we can barrel roll through this. Album we work out to, for me, Iowa, Slipknot. Fucking, this song gets me going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it starts with 515 and then boom, straight into People Equals Shit. Holy shit. If you don't want to pump iron.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who is obsessed with Drake, fucking UK drill, that is a genre of music over here, look it up if you need to, garage, all that kind of shit, he actually has Slipknot music in his workout soundtrack mm-hmm. because of me. He was like, Ed, what do you work out to? And I sent him a few Slipknot songs. He goes, yo, I've actually added some Slipknot to like my gym time playlist kind of thing. It's like, of course you have. There's always at least four or five songs in every Slipknot album that you listen to, and it's like, I where did all this energy come from that I need to pump iron to right now?
Yeah,
like especially like People Equal Shit, Disaster Piece, Heretic Anthem, Left Behind. Again, Left Behind was one of those you couldn't watch Kerrang Music Channel, or it was I think it was called Scuzz back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of those music channels exist in the UK anymore, but I grew up with those, and on like every day you'd see In the End by Linkin Park. You'd see what was the song I mentioned earlier that had a music video? First Date, Blink 182,
mm-hmm.
And you'd see Left Behind, Slipknot, as well as the live version of Wait and Bleed. And then I can never remember the song, but all I remember the chorus to it is like, no, I don't remember the chorus. I just like, it's called Butterfly. Oh, nah, fuck it, we need to move on. Right, fuck it, yeah. Iowa, Slipknot. I'll try and find that song, and if I find it, I'll tell you about it next week. We'll start next week's episode. It's like, remember that song I was talking about that I couldn't remember last week? I'm already, like, I'm predicting the future. Because I can remember enough lyrics mm-hmm. to put it into Google and get the song, but, yeah. If I try and sing it now, I'll look like a fucking idiot. but what do you work out to, Sebastian?
Well, I work, there's a bunch of different ones, but like the one that I feel like just early notes, it instantly gets me in that, okay, I gotta step it up. I gotta, push myself. It's Monster by Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. Ooh, good choice. I like that. I might need to add that to my gym playlist.
Honestly, man, it's good. Like, so it was used during Daniel Bryan's rise in 2014. Yes, this is wrestling. Yeah. Leave me alone.
And, don't talk about that episode of Free Ballin' anymore.
And they used the song in like his hype packages, and every time I would see it, every time I would hear the song, it was just, I would get hyped, and I would get pumped up, and so it was just, it made sense to put into the workout. I don't know how it is, but it's like the song fucking knows. It always hits right when I feel like I'm, all right, fuck it, I'm done. And then it starts playing, and I'm just like, all right, I got one more in me.
Now that you've mentioned it, I feel like I instinctively knew this was always going to be a wrestling song.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I had to add one to my gym playlist...
Uh-huh.
I hear voices in my head. They laugh with me. They understand. They talk to me. I'm adding that to my playlist, and I'll screenshot it and I'll show you added to my gym time playlist, along with Fear Factory, some Jericho, Walls of Jericho.
Uh-huh.
Oh no, what was his band?
Fozzy.
Fozzy?
Fozzy? Yeah, Fozzy.
Walls of Jericho is a Halloween album.
Right.
I'm from Jericho.
So, since we're talking about workouts now.
What else do you work out to, Sebastian?
No. I was transitioning into the next category.
Oh, yeah, no, that's, yeah, like, you know, yeah. It is a workout, so.
So, yeah, okay. So, I mean.
What else is considered a workout?
I mean, it's when you're doing the horizontal nasty.
When you make. Love.
Yeah, I like yours better. I call it the horizontal nasty. Well, Jesus Christ.
The horizontal nasty. I was trying to do fucking Chef from South Park. I wanna make love to the children.
Jesus Christ.
Yo, they like Chef had a fall from grace in South Park. Maybe yep. South Park needs its own episode next week.
South Park.
We're talking about South Park.
Fuck yeah.
A show that has persisted almost as long as Simpsons at this point, and is still maintaining
still good.
Unique and originality. Still good. Got a 15-year deal that Simpsons didn't get. Simpsons is still riding on. Was this season good enough?
Fuck it. Right, so.
Sex.
Sex.
Right, I'm changing my album. What I did have was Man on the Moon by Kid Cudi, because Kid Cudi used to sort of, you know, I've actually fucked to Man on the Moon by Kid Cudi.
Fair enough.
I haven't fucked to the album I want to fuck to, which is With Odin on Our Side by Amon Amarth. And I was explaining this to my dad. Yes. Just think of that as you will. Me and my dad were putting up a shelf yesterday. None of this is euphemisms. Me and my dad were putting up my shelf. And he was like, sort of, oh, how's the prep for the podcast coming? Because I told him that it was like albums. And my dad, when he listens to an album, when he finishes it, I can literally look over at the computer I'm looking at now. And he opens up this spreadsheet and he'll mark it. If he's listened to it before, he'll mark it again. And then he'll rate it from 1 to 5 every single time.
Fucking A.
Every year, his top 10 of all time is difficult to decide because he listens to about 30 albums a year. Easy, if not more.
Fuck.
When halfway through the year, when nothing's really coming out in terms of music, he'll start sort of doing, it's like, oh, you know, I've been looking at like one song every year since the 1980 and a song that defines that year for me. I was like, fuck, you're old. And I was like, the one I'm struggling with is Sex. Like, when I had sex with the girl I listened to Kid Cudi with, we both liked Kid Cudi.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, I hope the next girl I meet is a bit of a gamer girl, is also into a little bit of metal. You know, I'm not trying to do a wish list here, but...
Mm-hmm.
It would be easier for a girlfriend of mine to like metal than not like metal.
Makes sense.
You know, my mum and dad, binary opposites. My mum loves Maroon 5. My dad loves Dark Throne. You couldn't... That is a fucking clash.
Yep.
That is fire and ice, my guy. Whereas, like, for me, it's like, you know, the next music I want to fuck to, I want to feel like a fucking Viking. If the girl is into Viking metal as well, I was like, well, let's play some Amon Amarth. There's no Viking metal better than Amon Amarth. Like, come on. When fucking Hermod's Ride to Hell comes on, holy guacamole, my guy. That is the song that's going to keep me going because it's about halfway through the album. So it's like, up until that point, like, it is sort of the foreplay. And then Hermod Rides to Hell comes on. It's like, all right, it's go time. Open up your cheeks. I'm coming in. What do you fuck to, Sebastian?
No, well, here's the thing. I don't think I've ever fucked to music.
Loser.
No, like, I was thinking about it when I was trying to pick the songs. And I was just like,
if you had to, then what would you choose?
No, but that's essentially what the song is. But it was just like,
yeah,
what I was thinking about why I've never done it, and I was just like, I don't know. I always thought it would be distracting, but and then I started thinking about it, and I was like,
that's the whole point of fucking to the right music. It's not distracting. It actually helps.
Well, I don't know. I've yet to achieve that. Like, I haven't had a problem. I haven't had a problem with it.
You've not ascended? Bro, come join us on the high table.
But there is a song that I would love to try to have sex to, and that's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
It was either going to be that or I was about to sing, I was going to clean my room. But then I got high.
No.
I was gonna eat your pussy too. But then I got high.
I don't think I could ever fuck to that. I'd be way too busy laughing. The whole fucking song is just amazing. It's like, what are you doing? I don't know. This fucking song just gets me.
I was gonna go to court. But then I got high. No, he wasn't.
But like, I don't know. It's, you know, it's Aerosmith, so it's rock, but it's not like heavy rock. You know, it's a weird mix of like. It's a ballad, and there's just something about the idea of like rockets about to take off, and then just
Armageddon already knows, bro.
Exactly, it feels like the most appropriate fucking song.
So many kids these days are watching Armageddon for the first time, and not having the beauty of watching this movie on VHS and having it come with Aerosmith's music video. Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're missing out.
Oh, it just occurred to me.
The poor kids.
I don't know if the DVD or the Blu-ray shipped with this. I imagine like it's in a special features version.
Probably.
Maybe.
You can find it on YouTube, obviously. But yeah, it's not the same.
When it was first ported to DVD, fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so Vegas. Let's talk about Vegas.
Vegas. Let's talk about Vegas. How many times have we been? 8 times, I'll tell you right now. and that's 8 times in the last 4 years.
Fuck me, that's right. That's fucking nuts.
It was 7 up until last December.
Yep.
But since last December and I visited, it's now 8.
8. Fucking 8.
It was 8 for me before December because I've been once without you. And I think you've been once or twice without me.
Mm-hmm.
But for me and you...
Yeah, 8.
Yeah.
8 times.
That many times.
Fucking A. It's always a new adventure.
And we're still here.
We're still here.
Still here to talk about it.
We're still here.
Yeah. And unmarried because we haven't done Vegas right. But one thing we always do is make a playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you know this. Well, you know I make the playlist because I put it on Spotify. And then,
yeah,
you know, whoever we go to Vegas with will give me songs. I want everyone to sort of have something they can listen to.
Mm-hmm.
It's shuffled, so you may or may not listen to stuff you bring on. It depends on if you add 200 songs to my 200.
Yep.
So if you only have 10 songs against the 200 I've put on, there's a good chance we may not listen to your songs because I put on so many.
Good chance.
But I don't know if you know this, that this whole album is in our Vegas playlist, and it's why I chose this album.
Probably not.
It is Songs for the Deaf by Queens of the Stone Age.
Fucking A.
Because the story behind this album is, I only knew this recently as I was researching the album last time I listened to it, because interludes between the songs sounds like radio. It goes from like English radio, there's Mexican radio, Spanish, like Hispanic radios, all that kind of shit. And it's sort of like why does it do that? So I sort of looked it up, and apparently it's meant to be an ode to someone traveling from LA to Joshua Tree.
Mm.
And that's almost the same ride as LA to Vegas in terms of there's nothing to look at. Just barren, featureless desert.
Yeah.
The occasional interesting tree. Oh, look, some LSD knobheads have pulled over on the side because they've been tripping so hard. Like, am I going to Joshua Tree or am I going to Vegas? There's no difference.
Jesus.
But yeah, this whole album is on there. And this album is honestly, it's driving music. The whole, like, you're meant to listen, like, I'm pretty sure as you set off, like, I don't know what point in LA and I don't know what point in Joshua Tree,
mm-hmm.
but I'm pretty sure that you can, when you start this album and when you finish this album, you can go from LA to Joshua Tree. That's why this album exists.
Nice.
And I fucking love that. It means this song was meant to, not this song, this album was meant to be driven to. It's because Songs for the Deaf is also a song in the album, which is why I keep mixing up song album mm-hmm. here. Yeah.
Nice.
There's no more perfect driving album start to finish for me than Songs for the Deaf. I imagine this is a song for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this going to be what I think it is?
No.
Because it's Vegas?
No. Those are...
Okay.
No, this is a song that's... It's super corny. It's super cheesy. But I knew when I went to Vegas for the first time, when I turned 20, when I was 21, I had to listen to it. So the song is Paradise City by Guns N' Roses.
Ooh.
There's no way in hell I was going to Vegas and not listening to Paradise City right off the bat. Like, I fucking needed to.
We need a Dirt style album for Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Dirt style movie for Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Those fuckers.
They're just as fucked up.
If not more.
more.
Yeah.
Isn't one of the songs where the girl is moaning it's the lead singer fucking the drummer's girlfriend.
Probably.
I remember reading that on not that I trust everything I see on Ranker.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it was on like things you don't know about albums or songs mm-hmm. that you love, and one of them is there's one of the tracks for a classic like an early Guns N' Roses album was a girl moaning, and it was the lead singer fucking the drummer's girlfriend.
God damn. God damn.
Yeah, Paradise City. Great fucking song, bro. Absolutely. Fucking love that song, dude.
And it just amps you up again, for the drive, you know?
Kerrang, Scuzz. Grew up with the music video. That black and white music mm-hmm. video. Fucking awesome.
Yep.
Where they're setting up for the gig.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome song. And then Burnout Paradise. I imagine that's why the game is called Burnout Paradise.
Honestly, it makes sense. Fucking sells itself.
Lots of things just fell because I just smacked the table. best album of all time. Don't fucking at me, my guys. All
right.
Deliverance by Opeth. And the podcast. I don't even want to know what yours is because it's not as good as Deliverance by Opeth. This album is great. I've got here notable songs written down, mm-hmm. and I've written down the whole album because that is what the best album of all time should be.
Yeah, no.
You agreed. Can start an album and listen to it start to finish and just go. Breathe a sigh of relief.
God damn. Okay.
No, that wasn't me farting. Like, because I heard you giggling, dickhead. But, like, this album, oh, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the heaviest I ever heard at the time. It defined a whole generation's worth of gigs that me and my dad went to. Nice. We went to go see the band live together.
Fuck.
When my dad realised I liked Opeth as much as I did, that's when he started getting me into like sort of heavier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking loved it. And even though Opeth isn't heavy anymore, they're sort of more of a progressive Swedish pop band now. They're Swedish progressive metal.
Mm-hmm.
I can look back and say, even though you're not now, I want to thank you for what you were, which was one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yeah.
I've had to change my option now because I've not really listened to their last 2-3 albums.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know when I want to listen to Opeth, boom, Deliverance, start to finish. Nice. I even got my dad the vinyl.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like a collector's edition vinyl. Actually, I think that vinyl is the last thing I bought from Amoeba before it closed down.
Really?
Yeah, because we went there. We got posters.
Well, I mean, it
you bought the posters.
It has a new store.
It has a new store, but that's not
the original. Yeah, I see what you mean.
The original one.
One on Sunset.
The one on Sunset. Yeah.
Right. So.
Damn.
Ready to hear mine?
Maybe. Yes, tell me.
All right, so I don't think this is one you're going to expect, honestly. Or maybe you are.
Ooh.
So, for me, I've heard this album in its entirety multiple times.
And start to finish, every
song just fucking hits. It's literally what you said. It just works. All of it. And for me, that album is Thriller.
MJ?
MJ. Mickey Michael Jackson, bro.
My guy. Can't go wrong with being MJ.
It is such an amazing fucking... Like, it's such an amazing album. All, you know, all my favorite
controversy Michael Jackson, on Michael Jackson are, on the
came
side.
From this album. Yeah. You know, and also, like, the guy's been dead
Let him rest in peace, like, fuck's sake.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's just an amazing album. And then you think about all the talent that worked on it. You know, you had Michael Jackson, fucking mm-hmm. Quincy Jones. And Paul McCartney's
Have
on one of the songs,
the
too.
Quincy Jones biopic called Quincy?
I haven't seen
his daughter, the one that was in Parks and Recreation, produces it.
Oh, uh-huh.
She plays Ann Perkins.
Oh, okay.
Ann Perkins. Her name, because her last name's Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones.
She produces it, and she's actually the documentarian asking Quincy questions, and it's sort of you learn about how he used to have the most flamboyant parties in LA. Like, it was the mm-hmm. party to go to.
Yeah.
The Oscars after party, mm-hmm. the Tower Records parties, the Quincy Jones birthday parties. And then he has a heart attack
yep.
before, like, between 51 and 52, in which Rashida was, like, the only one who looked after him, pretty much. Everyone else was, like, sort of, oh, you gonna have a party? Like, you know, sort of, I've never been to one. I've always wanted to go to one. And Rashida's yeah. like, you just had a fucking heart attack. Let the man fucking discover his own sort of back, yeah. like, way back to health. And, like, through that, he, like, sort of discovered, like, his newfound health craze. I had trouble not putting down the greatest hits from the Eagles. Because, like, mm-hmm. it is the best-selling album of all time. And it is one of yeah. the best albums of all time. Hotel California being one of the best songs of all time.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
It's not Mexican, bro.
I wasn't Mexican.
To me, it sounded like you had a Mexican accent.
No,
you
I do. Was,
are you I was, sure?
I was going for more like Caribbean cool kind of accent.
No, for me, it had Mexican vibes, bro. Had mariachi vibes to it, bruv. Like,
motherfucker.
This one I get married to.
I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah, by telling everyone to go watch Pablo Francisco. For the man who shaves his huevos.
Huevos, 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 huevos.
Hey, John, it's been tough out here trying to shave your weathers. In the city, you must fight to survive.
I can't
he
believe...
He sold tortillas on the sidewalk, you know, and the mob wanted in.
That's crazy. I did not think that was going to have such an effect on you when I first showed it to you.
Well, Pablo.
Yeah.
I watched Pablo before I met you.
No. But when I showed you the animation of it,
the Naruto Pablo yeah. Francisco. Everyone who's listening, go to YouTube right now. Type in Pablo Francisco Naruto. Best 3 minutes of your life, no cap. If you're weak as shit, this will make your week better.
Oh yeah.
If 2022 yeah. has gotten off to a bad start, it gets better after watching this video. Trust me.
Oh, right. Fuck, man. Music is is intense.
An important part of everyone's life, and I hope it is.
Absolutely.
I hope, like, even when things get shit, I hope music is there. When things are good, I hope music is there. When things are sexy, I hope you take from this episode how you can link music to everything. Your childhood, growing up, like, traveling with the boys, having sex with the boys, having sex with girls, whoever you have sex with.
Whoever you're having sex with.
Music's involved. Years, spanning years. There's music I've never even heard to that at some point I hope I do.
Yeah.
And music that's not even out that I look forward to hearing. Like, mm-hmm. I know some bands I know out there who I have loved my entire life and now are currently making music and I can't wait to hear what they're working on. I can't wait to get back to gigs in a way that isn't controlled. Isn't, these four over here, wear your fucking mask, are you fucking vaccinated? No, I just want to go to a gig, man. Mm-hmm. The way it fucking was, man.
Yeah.
200 people under the same roof, and you just look around, it's like, all these people like the same music as me. Fuck yeah, man. I want to go to a gig. I can be one of those people that saw Black Sabbath before Ozzy Osbourne was a walking zombie on stage. And I just remember, like, this moment is actually Ozzy Osbourne walking off stage to go have a shit, I think. And Tony Iommi's just there. I don't need to tell people who Tony Iommi are, hopefully. He's just there. He's strumming the guitar. And everyone's just going, Tony, Tony, Tony. Tony, and Tony points to the bass guitarist And people are silent until my fucking dad just goes, Geezer. Because it's Geezer Butler. Next to Tony Iommi, one of the greatest guitarists of all time. Mm-hmm. And then everyone, slowly, the whole stadium, and this is one of the biggest stadiums in Birmingham, the O2 stadium in Birmingham, fucking huge. Everyone, slowly, row by row, standing row by standing row, just go, Geezer, Geezer, because of my dad.
Goddamn.
Because my dad's voice, like, we were middle stage. We were middle standing. Every time I saw, like, as old as my dad is, he will never get a seating. He will never be seating. We'll always get a standing seat. So fucking just man. So that we can be there in the crowd and feel the fucking rush that I don't think we'll ever get back. As much as I want to get back to the way gigs were, they will never be the same. They will always be controlled. Because if it's not COVID or some variant of COVID, it'll be something else. And I'm glad I got to experience, honestly, mm-hmm. sorry, the way music deserves to be listened to, with other people who respect it as much as you, and the way the band wants it listened to. If you're not listening to if you're not there in the studio listening to it being recorded, the best way to hear it is watching it live.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because actually listening to an album live on Spotify is probably the worst way to listen to an album. Especially when they get the fans to try and sing it, and like no one actually recorded the fans properly singing, and all you hear is like out of tone mess. It's like,
yeah.
What are they singing? Those aren't the fucking words. Just music, man. It's everywhere. It will always be there. Before and after us, music will always be there. And I just want to... There's been a few episodes where I've said this, and I'm going to say it again now. If you are struggling, if things are shit, music is there.
Yep.
And if it's not there, then you're listening to the wrong stuff. Go out, go find... Spotify has a great sort of search category. Just if you type search, just scroll, and you can search by genre. And it's even like, you know, country dream, jazz dream, wake up party mm-hmm. music, late night party music, any type of genre, Spotify has you.
Yep.
Type in something you think might be the name of a playlist, Karate Kid compilation music. It might not be Karate Kid music, but music you expect mm-hmm. to be in the Karate Kid. That's how good Spotify is. I hope Tidal and Apple Music are the same. I don't use Tidal or Apple Music, but I hope their search engines are the same.
And like it's funny, we became like an unintentional ad for Spotify.
Because of how good Spotify is.
It works, man. Nah, I get it. I'm not paying for Apple Music. I'm not paying for Tidal. I'm paying for fucking Spotify.
No, I don't want to say the best way to listen to this podcast is Spotify, but I only ever post the Spotify link on my Instagram every week, so. Because it has a share button. It's the share button lets you post directly to Instagram stories.
Yep.
I don't see that on Apple or Tidal.
No, Apple lets you share with like specific people. It's like, no, I want to share with the world.
I want to share with the world, and that, yeah.
Yep. Oh, fucking A.
I've had a great birthday. Good, I can't wait to do another birthday special episode for you, but that's not until like
September,
most of the year away.
And even then, I think the move is going to be, since it's in September and I'm going to be in the UK in September, I think that needs to be a live episode. Like you and I.
Didn't we say we were going to do that when I came over in December last year? And we didn't do that at all.
No, yeah, okay, you're right. Fuck it. I guess you're not getting a birthday.
Don't make promises. I know you're not going to fucking keep, bro. Because I've got plans for us when you come over, dude. There's going to be no free time.
All right.
We're waking up 6 o'clock in the morning every night, regardless of us getting back at 4 o'clock in the morning the night before.
Fucking A. All right.
Yes. That's music, everyone.
That's it from us. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe. Give us that 5-star rating. Share us. Invite your friends. Invite your parents. Invite your grandparents.
Listen to us. And we want to hear what you listen to.
Yep.
I'm gonna get some albums from my friends. We can start next week's episode and we can sort of share. It's like, oh, my friend said this about like an album he put on Vegas. Like, you know, ask your friends, ask your family. You know, just give them like, just like question them like, what was the first album you ever bought?
Yeah,
I want to hear some.
Yeah, we want to hear like, from you guys.
Our music isn't your music, and we understand that.
Mm-hmm. Let us know.
Let us know. And we love you guys.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Me.
Come join us on this trip. Now I'm like to the throwing out the scripts.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the scripts. Ah, hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.